You are most welcome to this talk. Now, I'd like to play you a clip from the recent Senate hearings in the United States about the credible mechanisms of initiating cancer after the COVID vaccines. And it's a clip between a conversation between Dr. Julie Grelo and Senator Ron Johnson. Over to Senator Johnson now to introduce this, and we'll put a few thoughts on as we go through, because like me, I think you may well struggle with credulity as to what you are about to hear. So this is Senator Johnson introducing the topic now.
But, Dr. Grelo, you mentioned that mRNA degrades very rapidly in the body. Is it your understanding and belief that the mRNA in the COVID injections is that type of mRNA?
That is my understanding.
Have you, so you don't realize that that's not true mRNA, it's modified. It's modified pseudouridine, is that the, so it doesn't.
So this is the first point of incredulity, really. This doctor that doesn't seem to know that, she seems to think, as I interpret it, that the mRNA used in the COVID vaccines is the same as natural mRNA, which degrades relatively quickly. She doesn't seem to realise that it has pseudouridine in it to substitute for one of the natural bases. And this greatly increases the length of the life in the body of the messenger RNA, which is injected for the COVID vaccines. Now, how can she not know that? This is Dr. Julie Grelo, medical doctor, fellow of the American College of Physicians, which is a very senior qualification, Fellow of the American Society of Clinical Oncology. She holds a bachelor's degree, a medical degree. She was professor of oncology, I think professor of global health as well. Cancer Research Institute, Cancer Researcher Center researcher. And she has an award for Giants of Cancer Care recognition. And yet she seems to think that the mRNA vaccine is the same as the natural vaccine. How can that be? You know, if you go up to a bricklayer and say, tell you what, mate, what's a brick? Or you say to a plumber, what is solder? You know, you'd expect them to know these things. How can she not know something as basic? I'm really quite puzzled as to how someone with her lifelong medical credentials doesn't know that. And she's talking to Senator Johnson, who, as we'll see in a minute, comes out with some really good advanced medical concepts. So, but Senator Johnson's a businessman. He's not a doctor. He was a chief executive officer of a plastic manufacturing company, a businessman and an accountant. Although, to be fair, he does have experience as a newspaper boy, a golf caddy, a hay baler on a farm, a dishwasher, a night manager in a restaurant, and a machine operator. Although, come to think of it, none of those things would involve complex medical ideas. And yet he seems to know way more about this than this eminent oncologist. Very, very confusing. Let's see what else he's got to say on this.
You're obviously then unaware of some of the studies that show that the spike is in the mRNA is circulating in the body up to 2 years. We haven't studied it longer than that, but it's stayed in this body that long, attaching to the cells. As long as I'm on this track, was it your belief that the injection would stay in the arm? We were told that. It was going to inject in the arm, stay there, create antibodies. The mRNA was going to degrade very quickly. And
I think we all know the answer to this one, don't we? Does the mRNA vaccine stay in the arm? Well, we know that these lipid nanoparticles are systemically distributed to the toes and the ears and the nose and the eyeball. In fact, everywhere around the body, the brain, more importantly, the myocardium, more importantly, the ovaries and testes, more importantly. We know this. Senator Johnson, the former golf caddy and CEO of a plastics company, knows this. So obviously you'd expect Dr. Julie Grelo, medical doctor, professor emeritus of the University of Washington School of Medicine, Medical Oncology and Global Health, to be absolutely all over this. Let's get a reply, shall we?
That's why it was so safe. Was that your understanding that and your belief that the injection stays in the arm?
I think the effects of the injection are total body. So the immune response, the reaction.
No, but I mean the actual So you're aware the modified mRNA was encapsulated in the lipid nanoparticle, correct? Right. So do you believe that package stayed in the arm as we were told it was going to do?
I can't reliably comment on that.
How can she not know that it's systemically distributed? How can she not know that? I mean, no one's saying she's being disingenuous or deliberately obtuse here or deliberately trying to cover some truth that she knows full well. No one's saying that. But she appears genuinely not to know. How can this be, Professor Emeritus, University of Washington School of Medicine? Fellow of the American College of Physicians, fellow of the American Society of Clinical Oncology. How can she not know that? And Senator Johnson, former golf caddy, hay baler and dishwasher, does know that. Let me know what you think in the comments. How can she not know that? It really is quite incredible that she doesn't know that. Where are we? There we are. Let's listen to the next bit.
So again, you're saying how safe and effective this is, but you don't know how it works.
I do know how it works. It incites an immune reaction, as vaccines do.
Okay, how does it incite that immune reaction? What does it do? What does it actually do?
It brings the immune cells to recognize the COVID protein.
How does it have the... Are you aware of the fact that the lipid nanoparticle delivers its modified mRNA to a cell? That mRNA, that modified mRNA is injected into the cell, and then it turns the cell into a factory of the spike protein, which is toxic to the body. Are you aware that that's how it creates immunity?
The mRNA in the vaccine does get into cells, and it codes for a protein once it is inside the cell.
So are you aware of the DNA contamination found in these vials, that if the mRNA is being injected in the cell, well, gee, maybe some of this DNA, which is way beyond the level.
Just before we go on to DNA contamination, I think she probably did know that the mRNA gets into the cell, hijacks the cell's own genetic protein-making apparatus, and as Senator Johnson aptly put it there, turns the cell, whether it's a cell in the myocardium or the brain or wherever the heck this protein, this lipid nanoparticle goes, turns it into a factory for this spike protein, which is toxic to the body. I won't say she was all over it, but she did seem to vaguely know that. So we'll give her 1 out of 3 for that, shall we? Let's go on to DNA contamination now. We know this is proof beyond dispute. We've interviewed the original researchers that did it. Dr. David Speaker, for example, the DNA contamination is widely published. So obviously she'll know about that. She'll be all over that because she's very interested in safety. You would think, but let's just see.
mRNA is being injected into the cell. Well, gee, maybe some of this DNA, which is way beyond the levels accepted by the FDA, could also be injected in the cell. Are you aware of that?
I am aware that the mRNA that is injected does not get into our own DNA, and I am not aware of reliable data saying that within the vaccine itself that the DNA levels are
so
high.
So you said...
Not aware of reliable data that the vaccines contain DNA. I mean, that's just incredible. And she also believes that the genetic material from the RNA doesn't get into the cell, although we believe there's potential mechanisms where that could happen. But the DNA contamination is not a matter of debate. It's a matter of scientific publication that there was huge amounts of DNA contamination, way above that was allowed, even by the ridiculous liberal limits of the thresholds that were allowed. So, again, quite bizarre that she didn't seem to be fully on top of that subject. Really quite strange, really.
That there is no clinical evidence proving these injections cause cancer. What would you require for proof? How would you ever prove that?
I believe that we can put some boundaries around how much of an effect could be happening with respect to causing or accelerating cancer, because we have not seen an overall increase in cancer rates in the vaccinated U.S. population. In order to prove it, we would need a randomized clinical trial where patients were equal in both arms. One would have a placebo or no vaccine, and the other would get the vaccine. And we would need to follow long term.
So observational studies, clinical observation carries no weight, has no evidence.
I think it's hypothesis generating. I do think there are major differences between people who choose to have vaccines, who are more health engaged, and those who choose not to.
So I was sent apparently a study that's going to be discussed in the June 8th and 9th, the President's Cancer Panel by Chairman Harvey Risch. And apparently and I don't know what this stands for, the U.S. SEER, C or S-E-E-R.
Surveillance and Epidemiologic Evidence Registry.
SEER is actually easy to say. This is what Dr. Risch wanted me to talk about this. Leukemias are generally the shortest latency cancers and thus would be the first empirical signs to see pandemic-related effects. USC or cancer incidence data for 2023 were recently released. It is clear that for 2023, there are substantial incidence increases above the trend line for all, both sexes, males, both sexes, for every cohort. They have instant increases above the trend line. These charts appear to be the first U.S. data showing that an association between COVID-19 infection and vaccination leukemias may be possible and should be confirmed by additional data as they become available. Again, I think it's a pretty balanced statement. But, we have, Dr. Eldiri, who has just laid out plausible mechanisms, concerned. We have Dr. Dalgish, who saw it in his clinic, was highly concerned. Again, I hear from a lot of doctors also see it clinically, observationally. Dr. Eldiri talked about the cancers seeing, at the site, in the neck. I mean, wouldn't that be indications of causation? Is that something that we ought to research?
I do believe that we should research this. I think just because there may be some biologic plausibility, because we've seen single cases where a cancer is diagnosed immediately after a vaccine or in the region, that doesn't mean it began developing at that exact point in time. So let's distinguish between when it developed and when it was diagnosed.
So let me address the other belief where you thought it just stayed in the arm. There literally was biodistribution studies in rats that said the lipid nanoparticle would biodistribute all over the body, accumulate in ovaries and adrenal glands, that type of thing. So we do know now that they lied to us, was going to say the arm, no, biodistributed all over the body. And in doing so, then this little package with modified mRNA that wasn't going to degrade is going to enter cells all over the body, in the heart, turning those little heart cells into manufacturers of a toxic spike protein that, then what does the body do when there's a toxic spike protein on a cell?
Well, I would first of all argue that what happens in mice is not necessarily what happens in humans.
No. This happened in humans.
Let's just clarify that one. When the immune system sees a spike protein on the surface of the cell, it destroys that cell. And if it destroys a heart muscle cells don't divide. That won't be replaced. That's true in mice. And it's true in humans as well. Again, the fact that she doesn't seem to realise this really is quite incredulous, Professor Emeritus, University of Washington School of Medicine. Yeah. Professor Ron Johnson, ex-golf caddy and plastics manufacturer, is all over it. As I understand the science, Senator Johnson, who probably should be the professor, Senator Johnson is actually... Is science here is immaculate, as I perceive it, and as all the other scientists I've talked to perceive it. He seems to have it worked out, and yet this medical professor doesn't. It really is quite hard to understand.
Okay, they knew it before. They knew it when they lied to us. They knew it was going to biodistribute. That's the point of the study in mice. They knew it, and now we know it because this is disturbing. One final question. Does it concern you, as it concerns my other cancer doctors here, oncologists, that spike protein is being found in tumors?
I think we need to further investigate this, explore it, look at how common this is. And I am a scientist. I do believe that we should research, do the research, and have definitive proof, not single cases or population
there
data
is,
where the population
is. I would say
different.
There is no such thing as definitive proof, and we'll get to that later. After.
Well, it's not supposed to be a comedy program, but, you know, the burden of proof, if someone's introducing a new, completely new idea, surely the burden of proof is on them to prove that it's safe. And I don't know what so much what's like in the United States, but we haven't got the data on vaccines and cancer because the government have released, the government know that data in the UK. They've released it to the pharmaceutical companies. They haven't released it to our independent academics and statisticians. How can we work it out without the data? It's like that old physics question. Given no information at all, work out the distance to the moon. Of course you can't. You need some information. Spike protein found in tumours. At least Senator Johnson got her to agree that research should be done, but of course no one's going to pay for the research and all the other concerns she seemed to dismiss. So a combination of phenomenal levels of lack of knowledge. You know, if you met a joiner who doesn't know what a hammer and nails is or doesn't know what a mortise and tenon joint is, or a plasterer who doesn't know what plaster is, you know, this is just ABC of medicine. How can she not know this? Let me know what you think. I'm just taken aback, and there's some incredulity with this video. I mean, there's other things we could talk about. A whole deputation is here. It's all there. It's all written down for anyone to read. Association of Clinical Oncology, 50,000 oncology professionals. And she's the chief medical officer and executive vice president. You'd think she'd be all over this. I'm really surprised she didn't know those basic things. In the deputation, she says here, currently there's no evidence proving that mRNA vaccines cause cancer. Cancer is caused by a series of gene mutations and does not develop suddenly. Rather, tumour evolution is a multi-step cellular process requiring a cascade of mutation gene changes. Changes to the way cells produce energy, cellular replication that takes years or decades to manifest. I don't know about that, actually. I mean, this is a book I wrote myself here, Pathophysiology Notes. I'll put the link at the bottom. You can download the PDF for free. But I've put here some carcinogens, that's cancer-causing substances, are able to initiate and promote malignant changes. These are called complete carcinogens. It's only in a book I wrote, but there is such a thing as a complete carcinogen. I'm not going to amend that. I'm going to leave that in the book. The next edition, I'm going to leave that the way it is. Anyway, there you go. Download this book for your own interest. I've put it in the public domain with a physiology book. I'll put the link if you want to see it. And let me know why you think she seemed to not know all these really basic things. Very, very strange. Somewhat of a pity that American science has been divided into Republican and Democrat. I think Dr. Gallo was put up by the Democrats. Don't quote me on that. But really, we should be debating science honestly with people that are on top of their subject. But hey, that's just me. Let me know what you think, as always. Thank you for watching.